This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with the Back of the Nest podcast, DR Kernaz and James Howard. Great to see you both and have you in the studio. Tonight we're going to be obviously reviewing the Sheffield United game. Not a great result for the Eagles, that is for sure. We're going to be talking all about it. And of course, looking a little bit towards the Man United game. Very tough fixture this weekend. We're going to be talking to Tom Wade of the United Stand and a few other special callers along the way. We have to start, of course, with Sheffield United. A really, really disappointing 1-0 scoreline. Sometimes losing, obviously, it's a negative, and we're going to point those negatives at. But looking at those two games, and looking at this game in particular, as a whole, what's more worrying than this single loss is the amount of chances Palace are creating. You know, we mentioned it last week, goals are a problem. This is where the issue lies. But it's the chances created. Roy said afterwards, if you don't score, you don't win games. And there's only so long you can keep another team at. And that's really disappointing. James, I know you was at the Sheffield United game, so you got a first-hand view. What did you make of the game itself?
Yeah, I had a really good weekend, actually, up in Sheffield.
Apart from the game.
Up until at the end of the 90 minutes. I bumped into John Parrott, Everton fan, and had a drink with him watching a game on a Saturday afternoon. And went to the game full of high spirits, great atmosphere, Sheffield United fans everywhere with all their shirts, really good build-up to the game. Palace End was packed. I don't know why it said we didn't take up the full allocation, because it looked pretty packed to me, but it was lovely. It was, you know, it was back into the mode of supporting Palace, and it was a great atmosphere. You know, well done to the Sheffield fans as well. But, so getting on to the game. First half, I thought we did okay, actually. I'll be blunt with you. Mm. I thought we did all right. We kept possession well. We a lot of sideways passing. But I think the way Hodgson plays away from home, and I do agree with this, I think sometimes you can peak too early in an away game. And I like the fact that you just keep it careful the first half. Even if you go in 0-0, you come out second half, and that's when you try and sort of push on and get your chances. So first half, I was absolutely fine. Not a problem at all. Second half,
different story. Yeah.
Different
story. A tale of two halves, James.
Well, different story. I think it was a great bit of skill by Luke Freeman, ex-Bristol City player. Used to work in Bristol.
Ex-Arsenal. Where did he start, eh?
Yeah. Well, very skillful player. I've seen him on a few games at Bristol, and I know his qualities. And I thought, oh, he's coming on. Is he going to step up to the grade in the Premier League? And he did. And it was a great bit of skill. Yeah, Joel Ward was caught, but I thought it was a fantastic sort of deft bit of first touch come skill in cutting inside. And they got the goal. Now, from then onwards, it was a struggle. It was a real struggle because we didn't seem to have the impetus to get back into the game. And I felt that there was a couple of players that went hiding during the game. I know, DR, you felt the same.
Yeah, one player that comes into mind when you're talking about hiding was Max Meyer. We've talked about him week in, week out, and he could be that creative player, but on Sunday, he was just invisible. Of course, I wasn't at the game, but I was watching on TV. Maybe you had a different perspective. But on the left-hand side, when Wilf was running down there, and when he needed support, Max wasn't there, nowhere to be seen. And that's what kind of annoyed me, because I thought this season, Max is going to get his opportunity, and that's kind of a missing piece. But of course, it's only one game, I understand that. But yeah, I was a bit disappointed by his performance.
Well, let's talk about that then, because you mentioned Zaha there. He did start. He was back in the starting 11. He might not be fully match fit or match sharp, but he did play. You said Max Meyer there. And I obviously watched the game and I thought, Zaha's in the side. We spoke about Max last week. It was a decent point against Everton. They've spent a lot of money. Palace are going to really give as good as they get today. This is where the season really kicks off. But it wasn't to be. But because I don't want to do a Palace a disservice here. They did come up against Sheffield United. Let's not forget, first time in the Premier League after 12 years. And sometimes people say, oh, you know, you don't want to start a season with City or Liverpool. You know, you want those games where you can pick up a few points, find your feet. But I would argue, James, those games are just as hard, because Sheffield United, back in the Premier League, they fight for every ball, as all the newly promoted sides do. They're going to give until 90 minutes, especially in their home stadium. And when you're going up against someone like that, if you're not on it, well, against anyone in the Premier League, but especially those newly promoted sides in the early stages of the season, you're going to get fanned out, aren't you?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, there was a lot of, you know, rash comments straight after the game, obviously, a lot of negativity. But let's get realistic here. We're Crystal Palace. We're not going to win every game. Yeah, we've got to try and focus on winning the home games, getting a home form right. And yes, pick up some draws, maybe away from home and the odd away win. You know, we didn't lose 3-0, we didn't lose 4-0, we lost 1-0. Let's have a reality check here. It wasn't that bad. There was some creativity missing. This was Zaha's first game since the summer. He's only had 2 weeks back with us in training, so he's not match fit, probably. He's not as sharp as he should be.
Yeah, I agree with you to a certain extent, but it's just, like, in the first half, as you said, we were okay going forward. But even in the first half, what was our actual game plan? Because it seemed like with Benteke starting up there, we would hoof it to Benteke and there would be no one else next to him and we would expect a miracle from him. And then the other thing that I saw was just Zaha running and there's 3-4 players around him and he has no support. And in the second half, it got even worse. It seemed like the players didn't know what to do when going forward. And that's just unacceptable. Maybe if you had new players, then, yeah, you could use the excuse that, yeah, they're trying to gel in and over time it'll get better. But these group of players, they've been at the club for long and Roy's been at the club for long. So why were we so clueless going forward? That's what I just can't accept.
James, it was a terrible tactical display. They were the murmurs after the game that Roy had got that wrong. But James, you mentioned that typically away from home, Roy Hodgson, you know, he doesn't want to peak too soon. You know, second half, let's come out. We'll be cautious in that first half. Let's not concede an early goal. Let's make a fight of it in the second half. But let's look at that overall in a larger scale, a broader stroke. Palace are very slow starters in a season, traditionally don't have the best August in the Premier League. Why is it that maybe they peak a little later in the season and they don't put their first foot forward when that season does kick off?
Yeah, I think there's been a number of excuses that we've had for why we haven't started early in previous seasons particularly well. I think there's been injuries and players missing. I think this season we, you know, have got a fairly fit side. Maybe Sacco, we could do a Sacco back in the team. But generally speaking, maybe Zaha, we could have had him back at training a couple of weeks earlier. But on paper, you know, apart from losing Wan-Bissaka, we've pretty much got the same squad or team as we had last season. So it is frustrating. I'd like to just say that Sheffield United, you know, really did a good job on us. I mean, we have to
credit
appreciate
where it's due,
that. Yeah. They worked their socks off after they got that early goal in the second half. And they really put the tackles in. They closed the players down.
But did we see that same fright from Palace, James? Sorry to interrupt you, because this is what worries me. I said it's sometimes harder to face those newly promoted side because you know in their first game back, you better believe they're going to be fighting for every ball. The home crowd are going to be on you for 90 minutes. Did Palace match that intensity?
I think we did try to. I honestly do. And I think towards the end, the last 10 minutes, we really did have a go at them, but we just didn't have the quality there. And this is what I've been saying for, you know, a couple of years now, you know, with the forwards that we've got, you know, we've got are you that had a game last week, he didn't score. We've got Benteke that still can't score. And, you know, we really are struggling. And, you know, maybe we should have brought on Connor Wickham a bit earlier. That's kind of where I'm looking at, thinking, you know, give somebody else a chance.
I think with Benteke, this game, I'm going to give him a pass because I actually felt bad for him. I actually did because we're not playing to his strengths.
I'm going to give him a pass.
Yeah, because...
it's a shame no one was giving him a pass in that 90 minutes, DR.
Exactly.
He won't get no passes.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like... We know his strengths and we're not playing to it. Yes, we're hoofing the ball. Yes, he's good in the air. But in the final third, if you look at the season where under Big Sam, how he scored all his goals, 17 goals, it was from crosses, from headers, tap-ins. But right now, I was looking at his heat map at half-time and he was in midfield. Like, what's Benteke doing in midfield? We have to go out wide and use our wingers and put crosses into the box and use him to his full strength, which we're not doing. So I felt bad for him. I actually did.
Well, Benteke, certainly man's not hot if we're looking at the heat map. But let's talk about, you know, you said, let's not get ahead of ourselves. You know, we didn't go and lose 3-0, 4-0. It was only 1-0. We gave a good first half impression. But exactly what I said at the top of the show, James, more worrying than the 1-0 loss was the creating chances. Where was the support for Benteke? DR, where is this support going to come from? Where are we going to create chances over the next 3, 4, 5, 6 games?
I think the support is there. I think we've got a capable enough team. It's just the fact that tactically it seemed like between the midfield and attackers there was just a massive gap and it seemed like they weren't on the same page.
That what you're putting it down to then,
yeah,
tactics?
I'm putting it down to tactics. I don't buy into the passion thing on Sunday. I know people were criticising the players' passion, but I don't buy into it. I just think that's how they're set up. It's just Roy doesn't, it's not pressing, we're not pressing team. We're just going to sit back and on paper it looks like we're not showing enough passion, but that's the instructions. It's not to go out there and run around. So I think it's just tactics. You have to make sure the attackers and midfielders are on the same page, which it didn't seem like it, and that's why we were just hoofing the ball.
My worry is, James, that I agree with DR there, that Palace sort of went out to contain Sheffield United there, and then maybe in the second half, like you said, if it is still 0-0, go and nick one on the counter, hit him with a jab and try to snatch a late goal, get those 3 points. But if the worst happens and Sheffield United get that goal, where was the turnaround for Palace to go out and then get that equaliser? Because that's what worried me. If Palace don't take that lead, I'm worried that then they have to go and create those chances that they haven't done for 70 minutes because they've gone to contain.
Yeah, that is worrying because that's how I viewed it. You know, we just played a nice safety sort of first half, keep possession and let's come out second half. And unfortunately, we got sucker punched very early on. We need players that pull their socks up and just think, do you know what, we're behind here, we need to get in back into the game. And I agree with DR, I think Max Meyer didn't really help, he didn't sort of do that. I think sometimes maybe Andros Townsend sometimes isn't really...
Why was he taken off?
Yeah, he was taken off for a defensive midfielder. Yeah, that's a strange substitution, but he did have a poor game. And that's two games in a row, and I don't think it's a coincidence. I honestly do think he's missing Wan-Bissaka on the right-hand side. Joel Ward, he's not... It's just, you watch last season, his link-up play, Wan-Bissaka, it helped them both massively.
Takes time to develop that chemistry.
But it's going to be hard, though, I think, with Wardy, honestly. Because he just hasn't got the technical abilities to do what Wan-Bissaka done last season. And so much is on Andros now that I don't know if he's going to be able to do it. Because his game is already predictable as it is. He just cuts in from the right-hand side to his left foot. And now that he hasn't got anyone else to support him on the right-hand side, I'm a bit worried.
I'm going to ask a stupid question now, but I'm just asking it for you know, to play devil's advocate. Obviously, Palace needed more reinforcements this summer. You needed to replace Wan-Bissaka. That pace down that right-hand side, especially to help Townsend game. I know you wanted to keep Zaha, but the whole summer was really focused on will he go, won't he go, let's keep him. But could you have maybe, in another world, sold him and used that money to re-strengthen and get 2-3 in the other areas that you did need?
I don't think so. I think Zaha's a star player. We just need to keep our star player. I think if you lost Zaha...
Is one star player enough? If you're missing in a few other areas?
Yeah, I think you saw it on Sunday as well. Even Zaha didn't have a good game. No one else could step up. So, we just have to rely on Zaha, unfortunately, a bit too much. But the disappointing thing is, I'm not as annoyed with Joel Ward as much, but I'm annoyed with the actual board for not replacing Wan-Bissaka.
Because this is the problem.
Because Joel Ward, it's not like his performance has drastically dropped. We know what to expect from Joel Ward. Like, we already knew it going into the season that he can't be that player going forward. And also, he's not the greatest defender. So, that was up to the board to replace him. And they just didn't. And it's a very risky game to play.
Well, we know the faults of James and DR. Talking about the Sheffield United game, they did go down 1-0 at Bramall Lane. Next, we're going to be talking to Chris Hamling, also from Back of the Nest podcast.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio by Back of the Nest podcast, DR Kernaz and James Howard. And I'm delighted to say, on the line with us now, I've been reliably informed, the best member of Back of the Nest podcast, it is Chris Hamling. Chris, thank you for joining us this evening and giving us a bit of your time. I'm delighted to talk to the best member. I've never met the best member, but thank you for coming on. Chris, not the greatest of starts for Palace so far. What were your thoughts of the Sheffield United game?
Oh, thoroughly depressing, Charlie. Also, good to speak to you, mate. And yeah, you are accurately informed. I am quite by some distance the best one. I'll hopefully get to the studio and meet you fairly soon, mate. But yeah, obviously hugely depressed, hugely angry about it. Usually you've got a few days after the game and you start to calm down and kind of rationalise. You start thinking things like, well, you know, no one's going to get an easy game off Sheffield United at home, you know, are they? Because they've got a bit of momentum and, you know, they're a real cohesive team unit. But we were just rubbish and there's no escaping that. And if anything, I'm angrier.
Do you think that we're overreacting in a way that we saw, you know, the comments on social media after we posted the pod yesterday, people were saying we're overreacting. What do you make of that? Do you think we're overreacting over one game? Or
well, first of all, the conditions of me coming on were that you weren't allowed to speak, so I'm quite annoyed
about that. Chris, we really thank you for giving us some time tonight. Chris Hamling there, back in the...
Nah, fair enough. I think that there's something in that in terms of the fact that we're reacting relatively close after a game. But, you know, what I would say in response to that is we're not just talking about one match. We're talking about a consistent approach, particularly from the manager, particularly from Roy, where he does play the same way week in, week out. And arguably, he gets enough points throughout the course of a season to keep you in the division. So you could say he's doing his job. But I think we spent a lot of last season, particularly with the home games, feeling thoroughly depressed with the kind of football that we were playing and the way it was kind of negating us as an attacking force. And I think the first two games have seen us fail to score this season. I think everyone had Sheffield United down as a way to get points on the board very early on, rightly or wrongly. So I think it's an overreaction if we're just talking about one game. But when you look at it in the full context of what we've watched over the last year and a bit, I think we're right to be very concerned.
Chris, you mentioned there that you are concerned, and you even mentioned that you was slightly angry over the past couple of performances. But more than a concerning issue is, it is a new season. This is when teams and players are typically up for it. It's the new kickoff of the Premier League season. Where's Palace intensity been? Why haven't they been up for it in these two games? Why have they been outmatched in that department?
Well, I think what you have is sometimes it's interesting to kind of listen to the sort of comments that Roy makes, and some of his language gives you a bit of an insight into that, in my view. Because he talked before the Sheffield United game about the fact that obviously they would be up for the match, and that perhaps, you know, we needed to stay calm and we needed to sort of take a measured approach, see off their intensity, and then get ourselves into the game. But I think if you send the team out with a calm attitude in an atmosphere where your opponent it's just giving it everything, you can really come across as if you're not trying. We obviously try to remain patient and work things accurately. But basically, you know, we go back to last season. We look at the two games against Brighton, the derby matches, and when we're supposed to be really up for that. And we had that exact same approach. We ended up, you know, losing those games and embarrassing ourselves in a lot of ways. And I think Roy is perhaps at his weakest because of that consistent approach and that measured view of how to play football. I think you've got to earn the right in those games. You've got to go out, you've got to match the intensity of your position from minute one and then start playing and then start using your supposed better ability. And I think the Sheffield United game just exposed that massively.
Hi, Chris, it's James here. I'm probably one of those people that feel that there is a bit of overreaction going on in there because I went to the game myself. And yeah, you said that we haven't scored for two games. Well, I thought we had the chances to score against Everton. You know, Ayew and Mayer had some fantastic chances, didn't score. Obviously, Pickford's a great keeper. And the other thing is, can we blame Hodgson for the club not getting a striker in? everyone knows, all the fans, the club, the management, the owners know we were a striker short, we need a striker in. And they haven't done it. They didn't get him over the line. So personally, I don't think it's all just on Roy's head. And also, I think you can't criticise a manager just... You know, if there's a consistent bad run of 2-0s, 3-0s, 4-0 defeats, fair enough. But we're not getting that with Roy. He's still probably learning about some of the players. He's still trying to build a team. He's still a striker short. He's, you know, we know where we're at. He's strengthened the team. Hopefully when we get the likes of maybe Gary Cahill in, Camarasa in, Zaha back to sort of being sharper, because he's only been in the training with the team for 2 weeks. I think we have overreacted a bit, to be honest with you, on a personal front, but that's just my opinion.
I think there's a lot of logic in what you say, and, you know, again, football's an emotional game, logic can get lost, but there's a couple of things I would say to that. Firstly, we've shown no signs under Roy of, you know, providing meaningful supply to strikers on a regular basis. I think a lot of people pointed at Batshuayi last year, but if you actually go back and analyse the games, you know, he wasn't a threat in a large percentage of the games that he played. He just took his chances well. And there's a bit of truth in the fact that we are creating chances. But if you look at the chances being created against us as well, you can't argue that we deserve to beat Everton. Probably shaded it in the second half, but I think a point was a fair result. And we definitely didn't deserve anything against Sheffield United. You know, you can make excuses for the manager, but no one's really going to convince me that the 11 we put out against Sheffield United was set up in a way that got the best out of the players. I mean, at the very least, Benteke needs crosses. Everybody knows that. That's how he plays. We are not set up with any real width. We're playing a narrow 4-4-2, and we have done for a long period of time. People are fascinated with calling Zaha a winger, but it's not even about that anymore. Townsend doesn't get down the sides and put a ball in, or cut back and put a ball in. Everyone's looking to play through the middle, and we just get crowded out. So I don't think that there's anyone to blame other than the manager for what's happening on the pitch, as much as there are issues off the pitch in terms of our recruitment.
There's people out there that's, I don't know if they're being serious, but they're saying that, I'm actually very worried that we're going to get relegated. What's your thoughts on that? Do you think that Roy will keep us up this season, or...?
Well, as you know, Dio, I put a bet on us to be relegated very, very early on. Not that I encourage gambling.
Chris, you backed your own team to get relegated. Is that right?
Yeah. Usually I put a bet on us for top four, but I've learned my lesson after several decades of not winning that. So I went the other way this year. I honestly felt, and I kind of did it as a joke, that our approach to the transfer window was going to cost us this time. And, you know, personally, I didn't see enough last season, particularly with the home form. I genuinely didn't think we'd sustain the kind of away form we had last year. And there were just signs of, you know, unrest and players. I could put it this way. If you talk about Wilf wanting to move on, I can't imagine why he'd want to stay in our team right now. We don't play to his strengths. We leave him up against two or three players with no support around him half the time. I don't know why you'd want to be a striker in our team, because we seem to want to do is make them run around in circles up front and feed on scraps. There's a lot wrong with how we're going about things, in my personal view.
Do you think then, going ahead, moving forward with the season, that won't turn around, that won't change, or this is now going to be a very long season?
I think unless we get some fresh ideas and fresh impetus into the squad, I can't see it. I think if Roy lasts till January and we do some work in the window, I think we might be able to turn it around again. But it's yet again gambling on a successful January window. And at some point, that's also going to cost us. But, you know, again, I can't see Roy lasting the season.
Want Roy gone, it sounds like, Chris? Because if he does make it to January, I'm assuming that you don't want him in charge of the recruitment to make those purchases in January. It sounds like you're not being brutal, but almost Roy out.
I mean, you've picked up on something there, haven't you? I was trying to hide it. But very, very, very clever. I'm going to have to watch you, I think.
Yeah, Inspector Gadget.
I have lost a little bit of faith. Well, more than a little bit of faith, to be honest with you. I felt a little bit beaten last season by just how bad we were at home and the starts of the season. I just don't see any willingness for Roy to be creative. Look at Chris Wilder and what he's done at Sheffield United. He's just thought about things in such a creative way. He's, you know, got overlapping centre-backs. Everyone's going mad over it. But, you know, what a fantastic way to play football. You know, they managed to outnumber us in every part of the field despite having the same number of players as us. Phenomenal, phenomenal thinking about the game. Roy has his tried and trusted tactics, and they've worked for an incredible period of time. But when it comes to actually having to react and that little bit of flexibility, I don't see it in him anymore. I really don't.
Is it a little bit, though, looking over at someone else and what they've got and the grass is greener and it doesn't always work out that way?
Oh, quite possibly. But then when have football fans ever been logical?
Chris, we really appreciate you coming on tonight. Always a pleasure to talk to the best member of the Back of the Nest podcast, Chris Hamblin there. Great guy. Great to talk to him. It's strong views. Roy Hodgson, he almost says, you know, Roy out. And if he is there by January, he doesn't want him there to make those buys. Do you two agree with that?
I'm surprised, actually. Because
I am.
When you think back at Roy's career, not just at Palace, but at Fulham, you know, how
like
he got
Roy.
Them to the European Cup Winners' Cup final, I call it, which it was, it used to be called. But he did a brilliant job. And I think all throughout his career, he's done a really good job. And I don't think he's been consistently bad for us. I mean, you look at Alan Pardew, you know, we couldn't win a game for like 12 months or something. That's the situation where you're
criminal.
Thinking where you should be looking at maybe replacing the manager. With Roy,
tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I think, well, do you know what? It's not got to that stage. And I do believe that he maybe needs to improve his tactics, but this is just the second game of the season. It's too early
Another
to make a judgment.
In your
We've
book.
Got, you know, I didn't mention Mamadou Sakho. We've got him to come back in the team. Possibly Gary Cahill. We've got a load of players that haven't really been given the opportunity or the chance to sort of play yet. And yeah, I am a bit disappointed that we haven't replaced Batshuayi. I am disappointed that Aaron Wan-Bissaka's gone. But I'm still a little bit optimistic because we've still got these, you know, other players that we've brought in. And, you know, if you've just got to give the guy time.
Well, let me ask you a question, NDR, because another thing Chris mentioned was that he said it's almost down to Roy that the team haven't recruited. I would say that maybe he hasn't been backed. There was an element of balance in the books with a Wan-Bissaka deal. DR, what do you make to what Chris said?
I feel like, yes, he does play a part in the transfers. Of course, he's a manager. But I wouldn't put the blame purely on Roy. I'm pretty sure Roy would
I'm sure there's an element.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Roy would have wanted a right back and another striker that fits into his system.
Managers always want more
money. Exactly. Yeah, they do, but you have to find a balance. But then again, if you're looking at our transfers and what we've done this summer, I wouldn't say it was the worst window out there, but it also wasn't good as well. So you have to look at it that way. You have to say that, all right, Roy was backed, but was he backed enough? And let's say that we did bring in another right back in or another striker in, would we do much better? I'm not too sure, but yeah, that's another thing to think about. He wasn't back to the fullest.
All right, well, we did just speak to one Back of the Nest podcast member there, and next, we just might be speaking to another.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio by Back of the Nest podcast, DR Kernaz and James Howard. I'm delighted to say there might have been a game this weekend, but there is a bigger game going on in the studio. There is some drama because Chris Hamblin, member of the Back of the Nest podcast, he claims he was the best. Well, Nick has just tweeted, Chris is only third best, or we said third at best. There is some debate going on. I don't know who's in the top spot. I don't know who's in second spot. But I'm delighted to say we are now joined by Nick Gillard of the Back of the Nest podcast. Nick, not in the studio tonight, but great to have you with us. Who's the best member?
I don't know. I'm just happy to be equal fifth with DR, really.
Equal fifth? I thought you put me top. That's why I thought that's why he was third best. You were second. I was first.
Yeah, no. been on our show, isn't he, DR? That's what he's doing. Well, trying to take over all the back of the nest pods, which you can get at backofthenest.com, everybody, if you want to listen back. Get a little advert in.
Nice plug there, Nick. I must say good evening to you as well. Great to hear from you. Let's talk then a little bit about the Sheffield United game. Nick, what were your thoughts on it?
I watched the game on a cancer ward. So imagine that depressing performance there. It was just like, we walked away, me and my son, and we just couldn't believe it. It was just, we were really annoyed at the fact that the players didn't try, the fact that we were misplacing passes. We came to the conclusion that something's happened at the club over the summer, that there's no team spirit there because we've got no verve. And hopefully Gary Cahill will get in there and actually G everybody up a bit because he's got the experience to maybe pull everybody together. But there doesn't seem to be a cohesive team spirit. I don't know what the guys think of that.
Yeah, that's funny though, because Gary Cahill, he said that when he joined Palace, he's loved every second of it because the team's humble and they're close to each other. I feel like the performance on the pitch is changing the perspective of people on team spirit. I don't think we have an issue with team spirit. As I said before, I think it's just how we're set up. We're not set up to go there and run and chase after every ball, and people confuse that with passion. It's not lack of passion, it's just how they're tactically set up, and I feel like that's the mistake that people are making.
Yeah, but what you've got to look at there, DR, is as a teacher, I was always taught when Ofsted come and look, it's all there in the kids' books, what they do in the books. That's the most important thing. So as far as I'm concerned as a supporter, I'm going by what I see them doing on the pitch. And there was just nothing there. It was depressing. And I'd really, really not looking forward to going, if that's what we've got to put up with. We just seem to be in some sort of mire, some sort of quicksand, and something's got to happen quickly. I know James is saying, oh, yeah, it's too soon, and we come good, but something is wrong there.
Yeah, hi, Nick, it's James here. I'm going to buy in there.
Cue James.
I'm going to buy in there. Yeah, it's too soon. But the reason I say it's too soon is because, and I fully agree with you, I'm expecting changes. We've got a big enough squad now. We've got players that should be itching to get into that team. You know, the likes of Gary Cahill, he hasn't left Chelsea to come and sit on the bench, that's for sure. He's a top quality player. He needs to get into that team. They need to use his experience and skill. We've got Kiarte, is a great player. He's a good all-round player. We've got Connor Wickham. I mean, if Benteke... Are we going to give Benteke a third season now without scoring? So we've got Wickham to come in. We've got Ayew, who arguably had a really good game the weekend before. Yeah, he didn't score, but he had a really good game. So I'm expecting, you know, some changes, to be honest with you. I'll tell you what, Nick, you're right. If they didn't... You know, I thought first half we were okay. Yeah, we played it safe. We played it cautious. But I thought it was okay. But second half... They got that goal and we just didn't... Yeah, you're right. They didn't pull their socks up. So they didn't play well. And they seemed to lose heart very, very quickly. So I'm saying, if I was a manager, I'd be going, right, OK, I've got other players. They're on the bench or they're in the training ground. They want to come in. They're going to play and they're going to do a job. So that is what I want Hodgson to do. I want to put his foot down and I want him to make at least two or three changes for next weekend.
How about then? We've been talking about PDA... and Wardy not perhaps being as good in their positions. We seem to have a plethora of centre-backs now. How about we go 3-5-2? PVA, yes, we could possibly use him as a wing-back. Could Schlupp fit in the other side and play a wing-back there, and then you can still have Townsend central, a bit more central? And another question you can answer when I've gone, why was Meyer always 5 yards from the touchline? Well, we know that he's either a centre defensive midfield who can pass the ball or move forward the ball, or be a centre attacking midfielder where he provides the link up play. What's he doing out on the wing? Is he Harry Kane at the corners again?
Yeah, that's a strange one. I think perhaps it was because he had a reasonably good game against Everton. But I agree with you in a defence. I think to fit Gary Cahill in, I think maybe, you know, we need to maybe take. Give Ward a rest, put maybe Kelly at right back, not ideal, but put Kelly at right back, bring in Schlupp at left back for PVA, because obviously PVA is still making those mistakes he made last season. Schlupp can do a job at left back. I've seen him play at left back before and he's not bad. So you've got a different back four there. And then, you know, bring in Kiarte, you know, in the midfield. Bring in Camarasa for Cahill, for Max Meyer. Play him a bit more central. Give him a little bit of a, you know, a central role. And bring in Connor. You know, if Connor Wickham is fit, I mean, we've said this the other week. He's been in back in training for 6 months now. He's had the whole summer to prepare. I don't believe he's been injured. So he should be fit. And I think, you know, if he isn't 90 minutes fit, OK, but start him and see if you can give him half a game or three quarters of a game.
What's he going to do different to Benteke, though? Because if he's not getting the service.
I don't care. I just want him to have a chance. I don't think it's fair. I really don't think it's fair. I think that, you know, we're talking about this before, me and Dia, I was like, you know, why is Ayew dropped? Because he had a good game last week. Well, if these players are not performing, they're getting paid a lot of money to score goals. Yeah, OK, you could argue they're not getting the service, but that happens to strikers. You've got to make something happen. That's what top strikers do in the Premier League.
But it was very poor the other day, and I really, really hope things improve. I really do, but I can't see it. Perhaps with the new players coming in, if you all those changes you said, yes, that sounds good, but can you make them all at once? Where would the cohesion be in the team then? If you know, maybe that's what he's doing at training, is getting a different team to play at training to the ones he's actually sending out on a Saturday. Who knows?
Yeah, I think we need to be realistic as well with 3-5-2 Roy Hodgson. The man knows 4-4-2, and the most creative he gets with 4-3-3 formation. I don't think changes like that will happen. And also, we saw that Gary Cahill, he didn't play this week. Maybe, yeah, you could see that change happening, but also lineup changes. I personally don't see many happening there as well. I feel like, I don't know about you, Nick, but going to Saturday's game, we could see a different Palace side in a way that there's going to be no pressure because you're facing United away from home, and it sounds easy, but some players just, you know, they switch their games for games like that, you know, facing a big side away from home. Yeah. Do you think that play to our advantage?
Yeah, indeed. And look, it's the games against Man United and Man City and Chelsea, the ones, you know, we always win one or two of them every season, won't you? We've always done it since we've been up. And I think most clubs will win one or two against the big teams. And they're the moments that you cherish in the Premier League because, you know, it doesn't get much better than that and finishing 11th. So, you know, there is always that possibility. I have had a little bet that Wan-Bissaka will get injured trying to deal with Wilf. That would be ironic, wouldn't it, be out for the season?
I think that's going to be a fascinating watch, but I can see Wilf struggling.
Very much looking forward to that one. Nick Gillard there from Back of the Nest podcast. Nick, thank you so much for giving us a bit of your time this evening. We appreciate you coming on. Nick Gillard there. Of course, you mentioned the Wan-Bissaka v Zaha battle. And next, it is time to look at the United preview. And we're going to be talking to Tom Wade.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You're listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio by two of the members of the Back of the Nest podcast, D.R. Kernaz and James Howard. But I'm also delighted to say we also now have Tom Wade on the phone from the United Stand to talk a little bit about the game at Old Trafford this weekend. A decent start for United in the Premier League, smashing Chelsea 4-0 at Old Trafford, and then a 1-1 draw with Wolves last night, VAR in both. Palace yet to get that win, a big game this Saturday for them. Tom, how do you see this one going?
Evening all, how are we? All right?
Yeah, good, thank you, Tom.
I think it's going to be a tough game. I think we need to bounce back. I mean, yeah, you could argue that last night was a good result, but in my opinion, the way the game played out, I think it was 2 points dropped and we need to bounce back. So I think it'll be a tough game for you guys. But then, you know, If your plan's anything like Wolves played against us, then you could be in with a shot, because when teams when they come out and had a go at us, we seem to have no answer.
Tom, I do just want to clarify, you're a United fan. You just beat Chelsea 4-0. You drew with a good Wolves side, then you're saying you want United to bounce back?
Yeah, I mean bounce back in terms of how poor I thought we were second half. I just, you know, we completely dominated, but it seemed like we just didn't know how to finish, you know. We haven't got that killer instinct, and the game should have been dead. But you know, I think they underestimated Wolves at half time. I think the message from Ollie was clear: let's go out and have more of the same. Nuno switched it up, and Ollie had no answer for him. But, I mean, yeah, you could argue 4 points from the first two games. We've arguably had the hardest start to the season out of anybody in the top six. 4 points is a decent thing, but in my opinion, I think that 4 points should be six.
Hi, Tom. Sorry, Aaron Wan-Bissaka over the summer. It seems like he's been a massive boost for your defence in these two games that he's played. What have you made of him so far?
Do you know what? I can't thank you guys enough for coming to us. I honestly can't. He's brilliant, isn't he? I mean, the kid, for a young kid who's really shy, he plays on the field like the dominant player he's been playing for years, you know? He's got no fear in him whatsoever, and he loves being attacked, and he loves being taken on. He likes taking players on, and I think so far through the first two games, he's probably been the sign in the summer for me, even including Harry Maguire.
Yeah, a lot's made, isn't there, Tom, of the transfer market nowadays and the money that's thrown around. A lot was made of £50 million for Wan-Bissaka, only one season in the Premier League with Palace. But if he plays like he has in those two games and he's United right-back for the next 10 years, £50 million, Palace are going to be kicking themselves, aren't they? Because it'd work out £5 million a year and they got themselves a bargain.
Yeah, I mean, it works out nice for everybody then, doesn't it? I mean, £50 million, people were saying it's a big risk. But like you said, if he plays the way he has for the next 10 years, he almost becomes priceless for United, you know? That 50 million in you know, 6 to 10 years' time could be, you know, that could be priceless, really.
Hi, Tom, it's James here. I've had an added interest to watch Manchester United because of the Wan-Bissaka, so I've been really keen on watching him. But I've obviously analysed the way you're playing more than I would usually do or be interested in doing. I'm just going to tell you what I think as a kind of neutral, I suppose, as a non-Man United fan. I think that you should have won the game against Wolves. I think you've got some good players, but I think you really are missing a 20-goal-a-season player up front. And I think, you know, that could go to our advantage if you struggle to score on at the weekend. And I'm a little bit concerned. I watched McTominay did seem to lose possession a few times during the game. So I'm wondering whether you think he's going to be a regular player for you guys, because I wasn't particularly impressed with him. And then obviously with the Pogba, you know, story, you know, one, he blows out and cold. Sometimes he plays really well and then the next time he doesn't. So I worry about the centre of your midfield as well. Your defence, I think, will be fine. Although you did concede it, but it was a good goal, to be fair.
I mean, how do you defend
that? It was a cracking goal, but I am a little bit concerned about the centre midfield, and I'm a bit concerned that you haven't got a 20-goal-a-season player. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. Everybody's going to say that. But the thing is, I think Anthony Martial, he has got the ability to be that 20-goal-a-season player. But the thing that's really annoyed me, I've been watching over the last few games, and it's been a lot through pre-season, Martial and Rashford have the tendency to play with each other. So they'll switch between the wide and in the centre of the strike four. You can't keep doing that because it leaves us weak at the back. And Luke Shaw against Chelsea got an absolute hammer in because whoever was on the left at the time wasn't tracking back. So for me, I think if we can keep Martial up front, keep Rashford wide, I think Martial could be that player. But again, like you say, you know, we get injuries to Rashford or we get injuries to Martial. Sanchez could be leaving. Where's our striker come from? Comes from Mason Greenwood. And although I think he's a very good player, expecting 20 goals out of Mason Greenwood, who comes in an absolute novice, no offence to him, but he's a novice. He hasn't played that many meaningful minutes for United in the first team. That becomes an issue for me then. So I think you're right in terms of we do need that. I think we've already got that. It's just getting it out of them. And that's been the struggle that has been for the last 4 or 5 years. And for the centre midfield, I think Scott McTominay, I had high hopes for him. I did the Deadline Day show we did on the United Stand, and I actually said that I thought Scott McTominay this year is going to be Manchester United's player of the season, because he's had a really good pre-season and he looks a complete different player. And I mean, up until last night, you could have said, well, maybe things in the midfield aren't going to be as bad as you think they could be. But then you know, losing possession. He lost quite a lot of possession. Pogba was just saying they were quite sloppy, and I think, you know, they've got to get an understanding between them. But McTominay, he's still improving. He's not really had a breakout season, so he needs that breakout season now to prove that he can be the player that we need. But, you know, we dropped the ball in the summer in terms of we've strengthened the defence. That's brilliant. I could not be happier. But my biggest concern is the midfield, because we are so stretched. And then Ollie's going to have to bring in young players that he says he depends on. But in my opinion, last night, he could have changed the game, but he brought Mata on with 9 minutes to go. Greenwood and I think it was Gomez, I'm not sure. They come on with like 3 minutes to go. Well, that what message is that sending to them players? Because for me, it was almost like Ollie was playing Football Manager last night and he forgot about his subs. He needs to be able to change the game. So if he's trusting in these young players, like he says, he has to give them time. And he has to get into the game. And, you know, if we get injuries, that can happen. But I think players like McTominay, arguably outside anyone outside Paul Pogba in that midfield, is not nailed down a position. So it's all up to everybody to prove it, who is going to step in and who is going to be that starting player and control the game. But you could also argue that we haven't got it. So the midfield's been a nightmare for us this year, but it all depends on how they react.
Tom, you mentioned then that you want United to bounce back. Just quickly, what is your score prediction for the weekend's game?
I've got to be careful here, haven't I?
Very careful, mate. Because this is a strong squad back at the Nest podcast. We've had about 10 of them on tonight.
It is. Yeah, it's a deep squad. It's a deeper squad than United. I think United, our weakness is going to be travelling. I think our biggest prospect this year is making Old Trafford our fortress again. I think you're stepping into the Lions den, and I'm going to go with a United 2-0 win. I think we'll get another clean sheet at home. No disrespect to you Palace guys, but I've been watching the last few games, and I think you've got exactly the same problem that we have. We just haven't got that killer instinct striker that can put the ball in the back of the net when the creative players on the wide, like your Andros Townsend, your Wilfred Zaha. You know, it's big expectation on them, but who's in the middle getting you the goals?
Well, Tom, you're going for 2-0 there. United looking to bounce back. We really appreciate you coming on. Tom Wade there from the United stand. He predicts 2-0. We now have to turn to predictions in the studio. DR, I'm going to start with you. Just a little few stats, because I did do my research. You haven't beaten United in the league since 1991, when you beat them 3-0, Ian Wright and John Solarco, the goal scorers that day. Your last win against United was in 2011. That was the League Cup, and Ambrose and Glenn Murray scored then. So 1991, I can't believe that. Going on that, what is your prediction this weekend?
1-0 Palace, isn't it?
Come on!
1-0 Palace.
Well, I wanted to give you the good bit about that, because last year you had a great result in Manchester, didn't you? You beat City 3-2. For me, Townsend, that is the goal. I don't know how that didn't win goal of the season.
It's got voted for the Puskas.
Yeah, which it should win. Vote now, because that goal is unbelievable. But you know you can get a result in Manchester. What is your prediction?
All right, jokes aside, I think United win 2-0. I agree with Tom there. I feel like they've improved at the back. Wan-Bissaka, he's going to probably play as he has been for us and for them. And Harry Maguire there. I just feel like we're just going to struggle there. I think if you have to have players stepping up, like Max Meyer, for instance. If they step up, then maybe we have a chance. But I'm not overly confident. I think 2-0 United.
2-0 United, the same as Tom Wade from the United stand. James, are you going to give us a different scoreline?
I think there's going to be a massive reaction, a few changes.
Come on!
And I'm going to go for a second half penalty to Palace.
Yes.
1-0 away.
1-0 away to Palace, beating United. They're not getting the bounce back that Tom Wade said. I absolutely love it. The revenge game for Wan-Bissaka will not be a good one. He is going down. Palace are winning 1-0, James. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Are you going?
I'm going for 1-0.
And are you going to the game?
No. Unfortunately, my away pass has run out that weekend. I can't do it, no.
Oh, no. DR, are you going to the game?
No, I'm not going to the game. No.
Well, they are a force. You did get a result in Manchester last season, albeit against City. James is going for 1-0. Chris and Nick aren't here, so I can't ask them, but I'm glad I'm not asking Chris, because he's back to Palace for relegation.
Yeah, probably
so I don't know what he would say for this weekend. I think this game, I don't know if there is a right time or wrong time to face certain teams because you never know what you're going to get on the day. But I just feel like, being a hypocrite, going against it, this is the wrong time for Palace to play United in Old Trafford. I really hope they get a result for a number of reasons.
What are you predicting?
James, I didn't want to do it. I was going to skate around.
We're all friends here.
I think it might be quite a bad defeat. Yeah.
Bad?
Yeah, so a bad one. I'm going worse than 2-0? Yeah, oh. Worse. I don't know how bad. Maybe not four.
Three.
Yeah, three. But the problem for me is I can't see Palace getting on the score sheet. And we talked about it. Two games in, three games in. This is the biggest worry because it is a 38-game season. We're going to lose games. We're going to lose games against teams that we're supposedly expected to lose. But it's where are the goals coming from? Where are the points coming from? This is my worry. And that's if Palace can put in that performance, they can match that intensity, then I'll happily take that from this weekend's game. And hopefully I'll be taking a point along with it. But I'm not so sure.
Yeah. I mean, we're underdogs and I guess that could be a bonus for us.
It could be a bonus. Well, hopefully the Eagles will get something out. One thing I can say with certainty, though, Chris, the Eagles will not go down this year. They will pick up a point against United, I'm hoping, as well. This has been the Crystal Palace Fan Show on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hey, wake up with new ginseng moisturiser from Origins. Powered by natural ingredients like coffee and ginseng, this daily moisturiser leaves skin revitalised and looking radiant. Invigorate your senses with an uplifting blend of lemon, grapefruit and spearmint essential oils. Recharge and refresh with ginseng, Origins' number one moisturiser. Visit origins.co.uk to find out more.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.